You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Manny, bon dia.
Bon dia. What time is it? It's almost like what? It's still the morning.
We're still good. No, look, I'm still on my espresso.
No. We're still enjoying things. I actually forgot to mention because we got right into the last show with John. We got some Safety Corner swag.
So, yes.
Pretty snazzy.
We got some snazzy Safety Corner stuff. Swag. You know what I'm yeah? Like, it looks good. What? Can I show the back?
Of course you can. There you go. Look at that.
Hit us up. DM us if you want some swag.
Maybe we'll get some high vis or something like that, or hard hats or whatever. Just I don't never know. It'd be nice to you get on a job site and start seeing people wearing the Safety Corner swag on their job sites.
Listen, sometimes I run into job sites and they have our S1 stickers and on their hard hats and like, oh, you're that guy? And I'm like, yeah, wow, that's awesome.
It's a good feeling.
It kind of is.
It means the words are getting out there.
Well, hey, listen, it's always important, man. It's always important, and safety is always an uphill battle, and whatever tools you can use to get your message across, it is what it is, man.
As long as you're tied up when you're climbing up.
And it's always important. You don't want to fall, man. But, you know, let's take a little moment here to kind of thank everybody for following and watching and, you know.
Messaging, commenting, correcting us sometimes. Or
oh, yeah.
Not fully corrections, but reminding us of certain little details because we're not the full 100% experts.
Well, listen, it's hard to cover a lot of these topics, you know, in 1 hour. Right. So you just try to kind of go over the most important stuff. And, you know, there's always different perspectives and different ways people look at things and stuff like that. And yeah, man. And the way John said on the previous show, you always got to keep learning. You always got to keep asking questions. You always got to stand to be corrected.
Working together.
Right. And this is the only way it happens, really, is collaboration and conversation and communication. Right. So that's what we're doing. And that's what we enjoy to do. And we're helping people. Right. You know, a lot of new clients and, you know, helping a lot of workers. And, you know, this so far we've been tasked with, you know, training a lot of non-English speaking workers and stuff like that with the tools that we have. And, you know, it's really gratifying to help people understand how to stay alive. So
what are we chatting about today?
Social media today.
Safety and social media.
I think just social media in general and kind of how it applies to businesses and how businesses are using it and some of the pitfalls of social media, I guess, and some of the pros and some of the cons.
How MOL is using social media to identify certain players?
Let's talk about that. I
was also told by an accountant, CRA is doing the exact same thing too. You want to start showing off that you've gone to Belize, you've gone to Dubai, you've gone to all these places, but yet you're submitting a tax return that's like,
zero?
50 grand? How are you jet setting and spending all this money if you're not making this money?
One thing's for sure. Enforcement agencies, including employers,
are totally paying attention to it.
Are totally looking at social media, either from the worker's perspective, what kind of social media account you have, what are you demonstrating, you know, are you a good fit for my company? And, you know, and there's some human rights issues with that and charter rights. And I'm sure some people, you know, that's not fair and da da da. But, you know, employers are also using social media. Oh, my God. If I say fast enough, I can't even.
SM.
No. That sounds like BDSM. But let's jump into it. So, social media. We have a variety of different platforms. You know, I came from a childhood that didn't have any social media.
We're the last generation that has made that bridge.
Wow, and they really did, right? And never before, I think, in the history of humankind has information been able to travel so quickly and reach so many people.
And misinformation.
Of course. What other type of information? You know, it's either the...
And you as an individual, you should be smart enough to do your own research and not necessarily just get your information from one source. You should get it from several sources verify if these are truths or these are lies.
Well, listen, the reality is even the you know, mainstream media stuff, it's hard to, you know.
I can't tell you the last time I looked at mainstream media.
Neither can I. But no, don't get me wrong. I still can read up on the news and see like that. But one thing's for sure. I definitely get information quicker.
Yes.
On Instagram. Than I do from watching CP24.
But these days, I question all the information I get before I accept the information I get.
Sure. And listen, it's hard, man. Between AI and altered images and Photoshop and all kinds of different things, you know, you have to definitely be more cautious of the information that you're taking in and the information you're putting out.
Yes.
Right? Because even for me on a personal level, I don't have any social media accounts.
The only one that I have that's personal would be Facebook, and that's the lovely Zuckerberg and Meta has designed it that way. You cannot set up a Facebook business page without first setting up a personal page. But all other forms of social media, you do not need to require to build a personal page first that gets connected to a business page. You can just set up a business page. That's the only thing, that's the extent that I know about. So like you, like a lot of people, my LinkedIn, my Instagram, my TikTok, my YouTube. I guess
LinkedIn counts as social media.
It's 100% social media.
Okay.
That is all under TCL branding. It's all under professionalism, but I never visit my Facebook personal page. Lots of people message me and try to create a conversation with me in Messenger on Facebook personal. I have not responded once to it because I don't hang out there.
Listen, social media is definitely a double-edged sword. And as it grows and progresses and more morphs into the variety of different things, you know, us as users definitely need to be cautious of what we post, what information we're taking in, how we're using this tool, right? And today's episode is more focused on how businesses are using this tool and the pros and cons to it.
I would say how you're representing your business on social media.
Sure. Representing,
it's cool to have, like you said,
whatever,
the cool music tracks, the latest tracks, the cool filters, editing and all this other shit. It's cool to have all that shit, but then if you're actually promoting unsafe job sites,
well, listen, some people aren't promoting unsafe job sites. They just happen to be filming on their job site and they're unaware that there's multiple contraventions that they're showing, right? So
be aware of it.
Yes, knowledge is key in this situation. And can this information be used against you? 100%. But even like I said, even in my personal, like I only have business social media, but sometimes I'll post a personal picture of me or something like that. Or sometimes I like posting a picture of my kids, you know, some event that we're at or some adventure. And we go on a lot of adventures. But even like my kids' faces, I'll never post my kids' faces on social media. And people are like, oh, why not? And this and that. I'm like, right now, it may not be a problem, but in the future, it may become a problem. And especially with social media, you know, people are you know, tracking every single minute of their time or their day or their week. That's posting this and this. And, you know, people start, if there's some really sketchy people out there and they can figure out a lot of information. There's this one guy on Instagram, and this guy has the ability to pinpoint the location of any picture with bare minimum audio. You know what I'm talking about? Bare minimum information. Like
that's his handle, that's his page, that's what he does.
I can't even remember what his handle is, but this guy is able to look at a picture of you standing in front of a tree. That's it. With a sky in the background. This guy will find that tree.
What the?
Yeah. This guy will be able to give him 5 hours, geolocate, bum bum bum. That's you. That's the tree.
That's scary.
It's really scary, man. And then there's, you know, a lot of other different. It's just a lot of really. It's a
good thing this background's the same all the time, and that background's the same all the
time.
Man,
you're not a hard guy to find. Nobody needs to social media track you down, man.
You know what, though? It does make me a little nervous. When I got started in social media land, I would get strangers coming up to me out of nowhere, and they're like, hey, you're so and so. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, why are you coming up to me? Like, you're kind of putting me on guard here now. I don't get it. Right? Hey, follow me all the way to my driveway, and I was nervous about that.
A little bit of fame, right? Become infamous. But I don't know, man. I treat it as a double-edged sword. Yes, it's great for promotion, a variety of different things. And, you know, we have
use it wisely.
Hey, I don't know. I've been at it for 9 years, our Instagram. And I remember when I'd get 6 likes, and I thought I was like, that was amazing. You know, and we've been at it for a while. And recently we got a video that hit 11 million views, right? It's 11 million people looking at this video. And, you know, it's you take a step back and you're like, holy shit.
Which video was it?
It was the two guys that got their arms stuck underneath the seat.
Oh, that one there. Jeez.
No, that thing's been growing.
You know they lost their arms.
God. Right? And, you know, even I get some comments sometimes, Phil, your social media is a little graphic and it's a little this and it's a little that. I'm like, hey, listen, we're going to be pushing the envelope on this.
Do they force you to do the warning before you can view it?
No, nobody forces me.
No. Instagram, the platform.
No.
Sometimes there's a little
graphic. It pops up that warning, you know, graphic. It's popped up maybe once or twice for my videos, but it's an automatic
thing. One came up recently, I saw it, and it was just a person punching another person. And I'm like, what was the big deal about that? I actually think we need more of that in today's society.
What's that? I think it's just the algorithm is just rated on sensitivity level, you know? But yeah, it's social media is a great thing. But today we're going to kind of talk about how, as business owners, we can use it a little bit more responsible or a little bit more attentive to some of the pitfalls. And we're not going to put anybody on blast today, but...
But if you're listening and you kind of, wait a minute, that sounds familiar, then you might be who we're talking about. I'm just saying.
Listen, one thing's for sure. On social media, a lot of businesses follow us and we follow a lot of businesses, you know, and man, I make comments and I like pictures and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, as a safety professional and you see some of the things that people are posting, it's like, yo, man. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of those kids that are like doing 220 on the 401 and they're filming it and then they're filming themselves driving and then they get caught and then the cops see it or the cops saw it on social media and then they use that video against you. That's kind of how I look.
I mean, like, I'll be honest, just starting the whole Safety Corner and having you and John and other people that have come on the show before Safety Corner started with the knowledge of safety and being more aware of safety. I am now on job sites and I'm now being the voice saying, listen, can you just put this on? Can you just do this? Can you not move that machine without, can you, like, I just start speaking up and it's almost natural now to do it. Hey, I didn't do that before. I'm just being honest. I didn't do that before. Just get it done.
I never worked out. And once I started working out, I started enjoying it and kind of living it. Right. And it's a bit of a lifestyle choice.
So we want the followers online to just be aware of this.
Well, yeah, hey, or don't. It's your call, right?
It's your call, but someone might come knocking digitally on your door.
So we'll talk about a couple scenarios that, you know, are not beneficial to you as an employer. But so let's kind of jump into the slides. Today we're talking about social media. We have a variety of different platforms. And what do employers use these platforms for? Mainly they use it for the promotion of their business, right? This is my business and yes. For construction. And this is what our show is always focused on, is the construction perspective, right? But, you know, a lot of small companies, medium-sized companies, they'll use social media to promote their businesses or highlight some of their achievements. You know, we've gotten this award for a design in our build, or we've been featured here. You know, a lot of it's promotion and a lot of it's great information that people like to see. It's like, wow, these guys are doing really good, right? And with social media too, you get these social media companies, I guess, or marketing media managers. Companies. No, I mean, like, there's a couple Instagram pages. I think it's called Toronto Beyond Media and Hard Hat Media or something like that.
Okay.
Man, these guys do some really good, like, drones and overhead shots and, you know, some soundtracks. And, man, they're making construction really glamorous. Like, it looks good, right? And I'm speaking just from a... you know, an artistic perspective, right? Like, a lot of this creative stuff is, yeah, creative perspective, you know, it's really good and they're doing really good work. And, you know, it's part of that self feature. Come work for my company. We're the best. We do things like this. We're safe. We're this, and, you know, and some of these safety, construction companies too incorporate safety into their videos, right? Some of my clients, I've been on their Instagram page and it's like, yeah, you know, we got safety. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And it's a blend between, you know, production and selling feature and safety is important, right? So they want to showcase that, which is always nice, right? So, you know, employers will use it for promotion of business. They'll use it to show finished products. You know, look at this awesome house we built, right? Work progress. You know, a lot of these companies, you know, we're doing the brick on the outside of this house. Look at how our progression is coming along. And it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, and here's the but, right? The employers fail to understand, some, I guess, that the videos that they're showing are showing active contraventions. And I'm not just talking about hard hats, okay? Hard hats, fine. You know, you should be having your hard hat on. Number one, it's the law, yada, yada. But that being said, those aren't the serious contraventions. We're talking about trenches with a guy inside and that trench is 9 foot deep. And we're talking about workers that are on scaffolds that are missing guardrails and not tied off. I mean, we're talking about serious contraventions. Now, how can this be used against you? And I think that's the perspective that an employer needs to also consider when they promote some of these videos on their social media pages. How can this be used against me? What laws are we breaking? Are we breaking any laws? You got to ask some of these questions of yourselves before you promote this stuff, right? So how can it be used against you? Let's say you're a bricklaying company. You are working on a project and you go look at your social media page and the last 100 posts are of your workers working on scaffolds, et cetera, et cetera. God forbid something happens, a worker falls off that scaffold. Okay, critical injury or fatality, something, you know, obviously serious. Ministry of Labor gets involved, does the investigation. Now, does the Ministry of Labor, does that inspector go and take a look at your social media page?
1,000%.
I would say yes. Whether they admit it or don't admit it,
they'll glance.
They'll go back and look at it. Now, if they so choose to go back and look at your social media pages, will they find a history of contraventions related to that fall? So meaning, will they find multiple videos and pictures of that same worker or possibly other workers in fall hazard scenarios? Most likely, yes. Can they use those videos against you?
Yep.
So your defense is going to be, no, I did everything. We tell these guys what to do. We ensure that guardrails are in place. We provide the equipment. We've done everything reasonably possible to ensure the safety of the worker. Okay, that's going to be your defense. But
the evidence says otherwise.
The evidence, when it starts coming out, oh, look at this video. Oh, this was a week before on the same project. Nobody had guardrails.
Right now,
oh,
people are just deleting posts.
Listen, it's happened. It's happened in investigations that I've been part of. And yeah, they have to start going back and deleting their posts, right? It's not that I'm telling them to do it, but they figure it out really quick. You know, maybe you shouldn't have pictures of a whole bunch of workers on multiple locations not tied off, right? It's painting a picture of your organization.
But those are the serious ones. And I know that you don't want to talk about hard hats and stuff like that, but I've seen plenty of posts of designers walking on job sites that are in current state of construction.
Of course.
With no PPE whatsoever.
I'm
talking about the high heels and no hard hat.
Sure.
Walking around parading, talking about this is how we frame this. This is what we're going to do here. This is what we're going to do here. And that's in contravention. I'm sorry, but it is 100%.
Technically, it is. Again, is any job site 100%?
No.
No, I've never seen it. But you need to lead by example.
That's what I mean. So if those little ones, you're doing it there, most likely the big ones, you're doing it there as well.
You'd like to think so, right?
They're connected.
But bringing back to the point of having, you know, project managers or architects or designers walkthroughs and stuff like that, I get it. But on the flip side, you know, you see politicians posing and they're not having hard, they don't not wearing hard hats and they're wearing dress shoes.
They always wear the hard hats, but they have dress shoes on.
It's progressed.
They're putting boots on?
It's progressed to the point where I even remember back at the MOL, you know, the minister would make a post or not a post, but like some type of picture and stuff. And MOL inspectors would call, hey man, this guy's not even wearing boots on the job site. Right? Like, come on. So I think the politicians kind of smartened up a bit when it comes down to being in a workplace and having the appropriate PPE and stuff like that. Cause you'd see old videos of politicians walking through no vest, no safety glasses, no, not, oh, and all the other workers are fully decked out in PPE. Right. And it's like, okay, you got to kind of lead by example here.
Which trade would you say is the most at doing these contraventions? Because I'm thinking roofers. They'll start doing a lot of cool videos because they'll have the drone. It'll fly up there and they just either rip the old roof off. They started the new roof or they finished the roof, but nobody's tied off. And it's blatant, right?
So I'd have to say it's any company that is posting the top four or five serious contraventions or
fall hazards,
struck by, crushed by, you know, electrocution, trenches, stuff like that. Who's the worst on social media? There's a few, but that being said, you know, you're looking at your bricklaying companies and their scaffolds. Scaffolds, man, because they forget pieces on purpose.
Let's just get this straight. Scaffolds require a staircase, right?
Access to a scaffold can be stairs, runway, ramp, or a ladder.
Or a ladder. But the side of a scaffold, the framing element, is not considered a ladder, or is it considered
a ladder? It is not considered as a point of access and egress.
So even though the manufacturers who produce scaffold frames, they put a ladder there.
On the side of the scaffold?
Yes. On the frame.
Okay.
But that's not considered regarding the MOL an existing, that's not a proper ladder to gain access to that scaffold.
Correct. Because we have a section that deals with access and egress to above and below ground.
So right? You have to put a separate ladder, ramp, stairs. What's the fourth one?
Stairs, runway, ramp, or ladder.
Runway.
Right? But okay. Again, a ladder would be the most common sense thing.
Hopping on the forks of a forklift and then being lifted up to be dropped onto a ladder is not.
No, Manny, that is not the way to do it.
If you can get four guys on each of the forks, you know what I mean?
Listen, no? I've climbed up the side of scaffolds, but depending on the
cross braces.
No, on that, ladder component, okay. Right? The rungs. But again, depending on the manufacturer, you'd go back and look at manufacturer's instructions. For you to do that, there might have to be outriggers. It might need to be tied into place. There's a variety of variables that can go into it to allow for that to happen. But it is very difficult to achieve that.
I'm just thinking about all the bricklaying videos I've seen. I've never seen one of those four options associated with a scaffold on site. While work is being
performed. I've seen scaffolds that have literally a staircase that comes right up into the middle of the scaffold, and another set of stairs to the next level, another set of stairs inside built in with a latch that flips open.
Really?
Oh yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah, I know, because the ones you see on job sites are all rusted with a fresh can of spray paint over it and some tie wire holding it all together.
Rust is character.
Sure.
It does. Okay, so that's a bricklaying one. What else?
I'd say roofers.
Roofers for sure.
Right.
They like anything, showing off the trade, but they don't like showing off the safety of the trade.
Well, listen, you get into this area of falls, right? And is it 10 feet? Are you comfortable at 10 feet? Are you tied off at 10 feet? And then the pitch of the roof, and you know, roofers will say, oh, but it's on only this pitch. Why do I need to tie? I get it, right? But just based on what the law says.
Flat roof, parapet, what are the rules?
It has to meet the minimum requirements, height requirements of a guardrail.
Otherwise, you have to be tied off.
Or you can add an additional rail.
Or you add a rail, and then you can work without being tied off.
Yeah, as long as you're protected against falls.
And what is it, 42-inch rail?
Between 36 and 42, off the top of my head. I'm sure someone's going to correct me. Yeah, but
in and around that ballpark. Yeah. Parapets are generally not that high, so that would require another rail.
Possibly.
And then you can work the entire roof without a harness.
As long as you're protected against falls.
But walking on and off that roof require a harness on how you come down from that roof.
Again, case by case scenario, one thing's for sure. The first roofer that goes up is not tied off.
Yeah.
Right? The last roofer that comes down is not tied off.
That's right.
Right? So anywhere in between that first point and that last point, there needs to be 100% protection. But you also have to understand that first person is not going to be tied off.
So now let's get into the ground. Excavation.
Then you're looking at trenches and stuff like that. And, you know, I see some really good companies out there run by really good people, good attitudes, you know, very positive. And, you know, but then they show videos of the guys in a 9-foot trench, you know, and
no shoring.
Listen, shoring, protection, something, man, you know.
Sheet of plywood with a
sometimes
post.
A sheet of plywood in a 4x4. And people, oh, Phil, that's not engineer. That's not this. I get it. Okay, but 0% is 0%, and 50% is 50%, and 100% is 100%. If you're doing zero, right, you got to do something.
Yep, I agree.
And I get it, cost and this and that and shoring and blah, blah, fine. But sometimes, man, a simple solution, it works, right? And if I'm in a 9-foot trench and I'm in there, would I prefer to have something versus nothing? 100%. Right. But again, social media and the employers that are posting these, let's take that trenches. You have 100 videos of a guy in a trench, and then you have a fatality in a trench. All of those videos are going to come back and bite you in your ass.
Yeah, they will.
100%.
They'll show the pattern.
Of course.
Now, what's the rule with the MOL? Is it the MOL's rule, or what is it? 4 feet is the max before you have to start putting a trench box or shoring?
Sloping. So sloping. 4 feet slope, depending on the type of soil, et cetera, will determine the cut of that trench.
Yep.
But if you can't do the cut, then yes, additional support systems are required to be in place to protect that worker.
Right? Now, we're not just talking about people who are just doing patch repairs or works to foundation or something like that. We're talking about full footing and foundation crews, concrete crews. Because it's excavated there and now you're left with a hole, and how you get into that hole, and if it's not protected,
again, the difference between a trench and an excavation. A trench is deeper than it is wider, and an excavation is wider than it is deeper, right? But there are rules for for sloping an excavation. There's rules for sloping a trench. And there's rules for how you get in and out of that trench. There's rules for how you get in and out of that excavation, right? So you need to take these into consideration. And, you know, like if your number one job is bricklaying, there is literally only, I don't know, let's say 8 to 10 sections that deal with scaffolds and the work that you do. Yes, there's other sections, housekeeping and lighting and access and egress. Yes, yes, yes. But those are going to apply to most job sites. But when you're a bricklayer, you know, section 128, I think, yeah, 128, that deals with scaffold components, et cetera. Man, it's not that hard, right? And I've had bricklaying companies, and we've come up with solutions on how to tie off while erecting or dismantling a scaffold, right? Because as you're building a scaffold, there's nothing above you.
Here's a question for you, Phil. I'm assuming this still happens on site regarding bricklaying and scaffolding. Telehandler.
Is he you quizzing me today? Or
I don't know. I'm just asking scenarios. So telehandler is picking up a lift of brick.
Yep.
And they drive over to the scaffold.
Yep.
And they raise it and just drop it onto the scaffold.
Yep.
Perfectly legal?
Well, why wouldn't it be?
I'm asking.
Yeah, as long as your planks are in good condition. Your planks and your scaffold can withstand the weight that you're applying to it.
Okay. Whole cube of brick.
Again, it depends on if it's block.
It's an engineer scaffold and way it's set up.
There's ways to do it.
Okay.
Right? But if you're putting a whole, again, weight capacity, right? That's what you're looking at. I don't know what the weight of a whole skid or half a skid is, but one of my first jobs, I was a laborer for bricklayers. That was fun. I started that when I was 14, 15.
Carrying bricks by,
oh bro, I was the neighborhood donkey, man.
But that's how it was. But it's also, it happens with the cube of brick, but it also happens with the what's it called, the mortar tub or whatever. They take the whole mixing and just lift it right up and put it on the scaffold. So you got to make sure your scaffold's built correctly, because you are taking a lot of weight.
Listen, I've been in situations where I'm working off that scaffold and it almost all comes down. I got into a fight once with the forklift operator. But again, this guy used to smash a bottle of wine at lunchtime and then operate his forklift. So
grape juice is okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just fermented.
But I also want to talk about, I've seen some pretty shady window installers.
Listen, again, if you're doing any type of work that deals with those top five contraventions, those top four contraventions, and you're putting it on social media that you're not following the rules, you know, so I didn't want to take any, let's watch this video. I didn't want to take anybody's, obviously, their stuff, but this is very similar. So let's just pretend for a second this is infill housing. Let's pretend for a second this is Toronto. And let's pretend for a second that these are workers building a scaffold in running shoes. Okay?
Nike doesn't make, or not Nike, Adidas. Adidas doesn't make safety shoes.
Puma
does. Is that metal frame? Jesus, that's...
You're asking if you can climb the sides, Manny. You can climb anything, right? Is it the safest option? Hell no.
Well, we go back to the first person up there.
No, no, no. On a roof is a different story. I'm building a scaffold. You're building it from the ground up.
That's insane, huh?
Right? So, and that's what it kind of reminds me of, seeing some of these social media posts. It's like, yo, man. That's crazy.
But maybe the person who did the video is like, listen, I don't want to see any logos on our t-shirts. I don't want the company name to be there.
Well, what's the point of promoting your work or your business if you're not going to add your logo to it?
That's the thing about it, right?
Right.
What's this? The construction, the reason construction takes forever?
So worker POV. So we talked about employers, and employers do a lot of posting onto social media and promoting their business, etc. But workers also post stuff on social media, whether it's at the approval of the employer or not, right? So what are some of the downfalls of that? So you can take a look at security, right? Or trade secrets or something like that, in terms of, you know, workers being in restricted areas where no phones are allowed. Like, let's say a nuclear power plant, for example. Mm-hmm. No one's shooting TikTok videos inside the nuclear power plant. Why? Because they seize all the phones before you even get past the second layer. So, you know, some of the workers are, you know, oh, I'm here, I'm at this place and I'm doing this dance and I'm doing this thing. Okay, yeah, okay, you know. So employers may not like that, especially if you're, let's take the trucker protests in Ottawa. How many logos did you see on the side of those trucks?
Not many.
No, there was a few, man. There's some landscaping companies, some concrete companies up there. And as an employer, do you want your logo and your business truck associated with the trucker protest? If it was me, I'd be all for it and put a big flag there. But maybe your company doesn't.
As an employee, for an employer, this is where I'm going to go with this, is that I think a lot of big construction companies now are demanding that their employees stop posting any videos. They can shoot the videos if they want, but they're not allowed to post them. And technically speaking, on a legal aspect, it's not their job site. It's not their client. They're being paid as an employee, and you have the right to not, or tell them not to shoot any footage.
100%. But, you know,
I think these companies are going to take that stance now. We don't want to, you know what? We're perfectly fine. We're running a good business. Our corporation's big. I don't need some Instagram influencer who's in a tower crane, so to speak, and shooting a perspective of the job that's going on.
And I get that position. You know, even having our Instagram page, it went from 2 followers to, I think we're probably at 38,000.
Yeah.
Right? And do we post videos that people sent to us from job sites? Yes. Right? And should they have taken that video or not taken that video? Well, listen, the videos that we get, you know, some of them are some really crazy shit. You know, that video posted, or that crane coming down, or that trench collapsing, or whatever it is. Would you have seen this if someone didn't record it? Tape it, VHS. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so... And I've heard that argument before, and I try my best not to put logos or anything like that and kind of see. But, you know, people piece things together, that job site and this job site. And fortunately, I haven't got any calls. But, you know, at times it's like, hey, Phil, man, you got to be cautious with this or be cautious with that, because you don't want to, something has happened, the investigation's ongoing, you don't want to kind of skew things or whatever it may be. Or there's been a couple different arguments that I've heard. But we're still posting. And people are still sending.
It reminds me of, I had a person, Anna, on the show. I think I'm trying to get her back on the show. She's been on the show twice, and she worked for a pretty big corporation, High Rise. And there was a number of issues that were going on. And she was just walking around and videotaping the issues, even though she spoke to her supers and she spoke to everybody going, this needs to be fixed, rectified, taken care of.
Sure.
And instead of doing that, the company decided to move her to a different job site.
Quite possibly. I know.
And asked her to stop doing this.
Listen, a lot of safety professionals, for sure, when they're doing their inspections, they'll take pictures and videos, right? Oh, the guardrail's missing there. Click, identify where it is, tag that picture in the inspection, blah, 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 blah. Do some of these pictures make it to the internet? Yeah. Some of these videos make it to the internet? Yeah. Right? So, you know, sometimes you try to add more control to it, it becomes worse. But on there's different perspectives when it comes to social media, and I feel like we're always learning and we're always trying, you know. But workers have been fired for posting political or religious views. You know, it doesn't align. You know, during COVID, for example, I posted a lot of videos that I did not agree with, you know, and a lot of questioning and stuff like that. Did I get flagged? People say something? Hey, Phil, you know, that's not, the government is saying this, so you should listen to the government. Oh, well, fuck them. So, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives when it comes to this. But, you know, as a worker, what was it, that lady that was in a Free Palestine protest, but she was employed by someone. Oh, it was the second, they owned the second cup that was owned by the hospital or something like that. And then they were at a Free Palestine, and then they lost their job.
They worked for a coffee company.
I can't remember the whole, it's something to do with second cup. Well,
you
got it.
Like, if you're representing, fine, you want to represent yourself and you want to have your page. But the thing is, you can't all of a sudden have a page that's dedicated to an employer, a business, a brand, and then you're posting all this positive.
No, it was on their personal. It was on their personal stuff.
That's what I mean, is you have to separate the two.
So can an employer fire you for what you post on your personal account?
On your personal account, I don't see how they would have just cause to do that.
They don't agree with what you're saying. Maybe, you know, they don't agree with your political or religious view. A lot of people didn't agree with my political views. Right.
I think you have to separate the two then. It's like if you've got a personal page that's focusing mostly on your employment and all of a sudden something politically or religiously comes up and you start posting on that same page, then that's an issue. You want to start a new page and just post on that? That's up to you.
I don't know. I feel like my employer can't tell me what to post on my social media page. That's how I feel. Right.
But then also it goes back to the very first comment that you had on the first slide here. It's like you're doing it to promote your business. So if you want to watch, listen, I've never had a tool reviewer on the show. A tool reviewer.
Okay.
I've never had, I never will.
Why not?
Because I disagree with their opinion because their opinion is bought and paid for.
Sure. Influenced.
It's 100% bought and paid for. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a tool reviewer ever talk shit about a tool.
I have.
They've spoken certain things about it, but they've always ended the post by saying, you know, that company is still a really good company. I prefer their first generation. They've always said that, but they've never blatantly just said, this tool sucks. And plenty of tools have come onto the market that have run the Instagram train, influencing wise, and then have disappeared. I can think of the DeWalt paint sprayer with Greco, the hand one.
I don't know.
That was pushed so hard and then it disappeared because it was a shit tool. Yeah. But nobody was saying it was a shit tool. So it's like if you start looking at your page and you want to promote your business or someone else's business, you have to be careful about diving into. I never want to listen to celebrities talking to me about political or religious beliefs.
No.
You're again, an entertainer.
This
entertain me.
It comes down to social media and your sources of information and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword and it's a bit of what goes and what's okay for the time. So during COVID, for example, we saw a lot of those frontline hero TikToks where the nurses were doing dances in the hallway. You never seen none of those?
I saw, a few of them.
You know, the hospital's empty, but all these nurses were doing TikTok dances and stuff. Like that stuff kind of makes me puke in my mouth a bit. But on the other side of that too, you had frontline enforcement officers, whether it's the police or whether it's a paramedic or whether it's a firefighter, coming onto their own personal social media saying, hey, these rules don't make sense. This shit's all bullshit.
And then they were being reprimanded.
And then they were being reprimanded for it. Right? So the employer doesn't mind if you're doing a TikTok dance to, hey, wear your mask with a catchy little tune. But if you speak up against the narrative or what your employer is telling you to say, then you're labeled as...
It's a fine line to walk. If you want to be a social media influencer and you want to promote construction in a certain way, and you want to be on someone else's job site, it's not your job site, it's not your client, and it's not your company that's building this structure. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful on how you represent the content.
You can lose your job.
Yes.
You can lose your job. And so, even sometimes when we post videos, you know, I do my best not to show a face or blur something out and stuff like that. Because the last thing you want is people losing their jobs because of a video. Right? I don't want
to
be.
But there's grounds for them to terminate you because of that video.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
So I think you just got to walk a fine line and be careful. That's what I'm saying is you start two pages if you want.
So here's this one. I like this one. Ready?
Okay.
These TikTok videos,
man. Yeah, it's online. It's fine. Don't worry about that.
The supervisor shows up. He's like, yo, get back to work, man. You know, there's a lot of these videos and there was.
But you know what I love? Like you said on previous shows where you guys have gotten the chance to be invited to certain job sites that the majority of people in construction will never be able to see in person. We'll see it only if it's been documented this way.
Sure.
Right. Which is like, I look at it like, you know, I'm personally done with the TikTok videos, singing and dancing, shaking this and shaking that and people hopping out of their car.
I don't even have TikTok, man.
All that shit, right? Like I'm beyond that shit. I don't care. I'm really more fascinated about I'm in a job site here that's, I don't know, being built this way and it's really fascinating. And I would love to see people that are giving you the tour of it going, listen, look at all the safety that's going on here. We have our guardrails here. We have this, but this is like a 2000 square foot, gym or something like that. And here's the reason why this concrete was done with this way. And like, I would love to hear that kind of shit. Yeah, that's valuable stuff to me.
Yeah. And this is why we follow all these companies because, you know, what they post is cool. And the type of construction work that they do is awesome. And they're proud of it. And, you know, you can't help, at least for me anyways, can't help but to be proud to see other people winning and doing a good job, man. Like, I eat and breathe construction. So when I see this, I think it's great. you know, the only thing that we're suggesting here is apply a bit of a filter to it in terms of safety. Yes, you know, you got a cool soundtrack. Yes, you know, you got some really cool POVs and some nice angles and drone shots and stuff. It's really awesome. But
you should create an S1 filter.
What is it, where it just, it's an AI filter where everyone's unsafe and then you put it and all of a sudden everyone's tied off. It might be necessary, Manny. You never know.
I think you would sell a lot of those units, hey, man.
Safety filter, boom. All of a sudden, safety. Everyone has hard hats.
Everybody. They're moving. Don't move quickly. Make sure the people in the video are not moving quickly because the hard hat will move. Okay.
Like the green screen.
I'm just saying. I think there's money there.
Listen, that's all we're saying. Just be very cautious because, you know, it can be used against you. And if you want to think about it, just think about, you know, dumb kids doing 200 on in their dad's Mercedes. And filming it and being really cool about it and then getting booked.
This is an interesting one that you're bringing up now.
Yeah. So did a little research.
This is why I don't apply for jobs because they'll find my OnlyFans page, man.
Manny.
I don't have an OnlyFans page, man. I'm just saying that that's going to bite you in the ass. Shit like that will bite you in the ass.
So let's go to this slide. And again, I don't know how accurate this is. Google. It's an amazing thing.
I'd say it's pretty accurate.
I think it's probably even higher.
Low. Yeah, I think it's low. I think it's 85%.
So research from a recent study of Canadian employers indicated that 65% of companies surveyed use social media screening during the hiring process. And 41% of those companies had rejected applicants because of what they found. So that being said, have I personally done this? Yes. Have I looked at someone's social media to kind of see where they're at, what they're posting, what kind of person they are? And again, you're judging a book by its cover because that's what social media really is.
I've only ever done it after I had the initial conversation of a potential guest that wanted to come on the show. And I got a vibe from the conversation.
You want to do some background
and
research.
Then I just did a background.
Sure.
Just to verify it. And for the most part, I'd say, yeah, it confirmed what I thought.
I think LinkedIn is probably one that's used the most for this. Right? Because again, and LinkedIn is more your professional life.
Yeah, but LinkedIn is slowly becoming like the rest of the social media platforms. That's what I'm concerned about LinkedIn. That point. Nah, it's not as professional as it used to be.
One thing's for sure. You know, S1 doesn't have a very heavy presence on LinkedIn. You know, we know a lot of people on LinkedIn and stuff like that, but I feel like the majority of our clients and the majority of the workers that we deal with on a daily day basis and the issues that we're bringing up and, you know, the videos we're posting and stuff, I think it's more geared to Instagram. Instagram for us is a better platform. I prefer it. I like it more. But again, I think Instagram has the biggest reach to reach workers. And LinkedIn has the biggest reach to reach, you know, those corporate level safety professionals and bigger businesses and stuff like that. And you'll see safety people on LinkedIn that have massive followings and stuff like that. But, you know, like I'm getting, you know what the vibe I'm getting from LinkedIn these days is that half of it's ChatGPT. Some of these posts, you know, it's just like, give me a really great post on safety for this. And ChatGPT generates it, pops it out, and, you know, people are claiming it as their own. I feel like LinkedIn, that's a lot of that is happening. But I might be wrong.
I like using all the platforms. I'd agree with you that IG is the front runner, but I think YouTube Shorts is slowly taking over IG.
Yeah, like I'm just getting into YouTube. I never really
YouTube watched. Shorts is very valuable for anybody who wants to use that.
Yeah, come watch Safety Corner.
No, I think it is, but I think LinkedIn's up there, but I think LinkedIn is also being heavily influenced by other players in the game. But I do all the platforms. I don't do Snapchat, but I do all the platforms because I want to see what the same thing reacts. It does react differently on each platform.
I think it's your target audience, right? And you know, some of these social media platforms, it's like the 1 minute soundbite or in the 1 minute video and boom, that's your attention. And then we get into YouTube, for example, where you know, one of our episodes may be an hour long. You know, what's the attention span on the viewers when something's an hour long, right? Maybe most people prefer short little clips. Right. But again,
extension span.
Even when it comes to podcasts, I've never even listened, besides Joe Rogan, maybe once or twice before I did the show. I've never even listened to a podcast before.
I don't have time to listen to shows.
Well, hey, listen, I like listening to valuable opinions, right? But again, Maybe a lot of people don't think Joe Rogan has valuable opinions. I do, but whatever.
He's one of a handful that basically still speaks their mind. And I would say personally, that's the number one comment that I appreciate for anybody that listens to either Safety 100%. Corner or my other shows. I just, I like the fact that people reach out and go, listen, don't ever change. Just keep on speaking your mind.
Manny, we should do that's one show point. Where it's 100% scripted and we're following a screen.
Oh,
and,
that's going to be fucking boring as hell, man. Well, see, that, I can't even say that. That'll be very boring, Phil. You're going to have to mute your beep. It'd be hard for me to read the cue cards. But this is 100% true. I disagree with the numbers. I think they're higher.
I think they're higher too.
I think right? Companies are paying attention to, and unlike us when we were kids, we didn't have devices. You'd have to walk around with a Polaroid.
Oh my
and if
God.
You had a friend who had to walk around with a Polaroid, you'd be like, are you a cop? What's going on here? Like, yeah, why do you need to take pictures all the time?
No, listen.
So we don't have all that content of stuff that we've done in our
God,
our youth,
I didn't
right?
have this as a teenager.
But now this stuff is done and you post it and someone can save it and keep it, and it could be brought up later on in life.
Sure.
When you're applying for a certain position and it could affect your advancement
100%.
Career-wise, it can.
Yeah,
it can.
As an individual and as a potential candidate for a job, can your social media be used against you? Yes.
100%.
Especially if you're out there posing some, you know, or posting some really crazy shit, right? But I think it's just a tool. I think people need to be cautious because just like anything else, it can be, you know, harmful.
So I said, use it wisely.
Sure. But even like in Australia, what did they ban social media for 16 and under or 15 and under or something crazy?
Every country should be like that, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't think kids need social media at that age.
I don't think so either.
I think, get your driver's license and then you get your social media access. I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But.
Listen, I'm a parent, and one thing's for sure, I don't want my kids on YouTube. I don't want my kids. But even it goes back to like these corporations like McDonald's and the guy that won't let his kids eat McDonald's because he owns McDonald's. You know, or Steve Jobs doesn't let any or
use his devices.
Doesn't let any of his kids use the device. Yeah,
exactly.
We created these things, but I don't let my kids use them.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think parents.
Zuckerberg still puts tape over his cameras on his laptops.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know.
You're the root of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, sometimes you got to take their cues. Right. But and question why? Why wouldn't you want to let your kids use it, right? If it's good, if it's okay for my kids, why is it not okay for your
all
kids?
All the new smartphones, their batteries are soldered in now.
Manny, I want a flip phone. I miss my flip
Amazon
phone.
Amazon carries flip phones.
I'm really contemplating taking a step back in technology. And this is coming from someone that uses technology heavily and develops software systems. You know, so that's kind of crazy. But when it comes to my phone, you know, I even catch myself lost in Instagram land for an hour. Yeah, boom,
I know.
Done.
It happens, I know.
Right? Mindless scrolling. But
doom scrolling.
Yeah. So social media does play a role into this, and employers that hire you will, or most likely will, based on these numbers, will go into your social media accounts, will take a look exactly what's what, go back to, you know, your opinions and your life goals and some of the questionable things you've done. And again, thank God we did not have videos and social media when we were kids or teenagers and stuff like that. Man, there'd be videos of me passed out in a park at 11 p.m.
To your knowledge, Phil, do you know if the MOL has actually used social media evidence in a case?
To the best of my knowledge, no, I do not know.
Not yet.
I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
No.
Right? Because the intricacies of a court case, when you're in court and the evidence that shows that doesn't make it anywhere. So unless you're sitting in the courtroom or you're privy to the investigation, you don't know what the evidence that's been collected. But I'll tell you one thing. If I was an MOL inspector and I was going to charge a company, I would go through their social media like
crazy.
Part
of your investigation.
And I would take screenshots of everything that was relevant to the investigation.
And the description of that post and the comments
on
that post.
Oh, yeah. Date, time, location, boom, 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 boom. The whole nine yards. I would do it.
And or you can get the S1 app.
Well, you can just work safer. Yes. You know, but again, not every company, there's no perfect job sites, man. Right. So even if you're doing something and your guardrails are all in place and this and that, you know, just.
But on the flip side, though, if you start making posts where you're putting a spotlight on safety now. So instead of you just walking on the job site going, welcome to our whatever project it is.
Sure.
Here's a vaulted ceiling. This is what we're planning on. This is where this is going to be. This, all this other shit. And then as you can see, we're at this stage of the construction. It's all the framing. You can see the guardrails. Even the toe kick is there. We're all legit. Like, we want to be careful. We don't want to have any incidents. 100%. That is value. And if the inspector is investigating you and they see that.
That helps your defense.
It does.
That helps your defense. So maybe it's just really incorporating safety into your media content posts, right?
Yeah.
You want to big it up a bit. And even as a worker, let's say I'm applying to 5 demolition companies, okay? And they all have social media. I'm going to apply, or I want to get a job with a company that definitely demonstrates safer work. Sure. You know, if you have one demolition company where it's a bunch of guys taking out asbestos, no hard hats, no respiratory protection, no nothing, me as a person that's going to apply to that job, I'm going to already say, hey, these guys don't even buy masks for their guys and they're doing all this stuff. You know, I say asbestos, but you know, it could be anything. And then you look at the next demolition company and okay, a little bit better. Okay. But then you look at the top one and there's one that I follow and they're awesome and they're clients and we've done work for them, et cetera. But man, they take pride in their safety and they demonstrate their safety in their pod, in their,
who's the company
you want to mention them?
No, because there's a company that I know, Demo for Your Rental. They're constantly doing posts about safety because all they do is demolition.
Yeah.
And so they're on there and they're talking about hazardous waste. They're talking about structure. And they're always having these content, this video before they actually get into the work.
I don't think I follow those guys.
No. So they're good guys, Patrick. They're great guys. And I like that they're more of an educational content creator. That's what I like about them. And that's what I think has value.
Well, social media is here to stay, unless it gets banned like TikTok.
Oh, is this another game here? What's going on? We're gonna workplace injury results in a hidden fine for Owen Sound Company. This is recent.
This one was November 6th. So there's nothing. I have to keep on going back in time here to find these because there's no recent ones. I think
November 6th is pretty recent.
Yeah, but I'm comparing it to what it was like 15, 20 years ago where in one
Can week, you describe the injury?
We're going to get into it.
Oh, okay.
So let's move on to our next fatality or injury breakdown and what happened in this situation. So we're going to play our nice little game, workplace injury. So this was a critical injury, results in blank fine for Owen Sound Company. What do you want to take your guess now, or do you want to see the breakdown of what happened?
I want to hold the TV up to the light to see if I can see through
it's
that.
It's like the scratch tickets.
Redacted.
This is the only sensor.
I'm going to say five figures, high five figures.
Well, you're just basing that on the size of the rectangle?
No, I'm just basing it on knowledge of previous ones that we've done and knowledge of what I think the ministry has awarded or the courts have awarded. I'm just going to say five figures. I'm thinking the first number is a 7.
So far, all of the criticals that we've highlighted here have all been under 100K.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. So
that's where I'm getting my thought process.
Let's get out of here for a second. Let's zoom in here a bit so everyone can read.
Okay. What's this? All right.
Let's read this. All right. Picard Construction was contracted to drill and install underground fiber optic lines to bring high-speed internet into homes in rural Southwest Ontario. On June 24th, 2022, two workers were attempting to remove traceable mule tape from a previously buried high-density polyurethane HDPE pipe. HDPE pipes are pre-roped with traceable mule tape to help workers locate underground pipes after installation.
Yeah. Yep.
Two workers inserted the nozzle of a portable air compressor into the HDPE pipe and used air to blow a tangled mule tape blockage through it. Another worker and a supervisor were standing at the other end of the HDPE pipe waiting for it to clear. As the blockage began to clear, the tangled ball of mule tape shot into the air and over a live hydro line, critically injuring the worker standing at the other end of the HDPE pipe. So this guy
got blowing the air in.
I think so. A Ministry of Labor investigation found that Picard Construction failed to ensure precautions were in place to prevent hazards to workers from energized electrical equipment, installation, and conductors, as prescribed by Section 183 of Ontario Regulation 2134/91, contrary to Section 25(1)(c) of the Act. Okay.
I'm changing my number.
Since the incident, the company has developed written procedures for the task of using compressed air to clean HDP pipes. So
I'm curious on what they changed it to.
Well, they probably created a procedure, but this is, and going back to John's episode and talking about being a safety professional and writing procedures and stuff like that, you know, this is a tricky one, man, because, okay, we're blowing the tape through or this blockage through, et cetera. Like, how would you expect that thing to come out, fly in the air, go over an electrical overhead line? Like, how do you plan for something like
you
that?
Don't.
You know, how do I write a procedure to avoid getting electrocuted by an electrical conductor after I shoot compressed air into a pipe and shoot a ball of tape out on the other end that goes flying? Like, the amount of foresight you need to have to kind of... After the fact.
Yeah, no, that's after that you learned it. Yeah,
right? 2020, lesson. Sure. But, you know, to prevent something like this. Like, some of these things, man, how do you foresee this stuff? As a safety professional, and just playing devil's advocate here, like how, as an employer, what are the chances of this happening?
So my number's got an 8 now. It starts with an 8.
So over and under 100K, what do you say?
Oh, it's under.
Under?
Yeah. 200.
$200,000 for a critical injury.
Wow. It's good. Should be more, in my opinion.
Manny.
That's my opinion.
So description of the offense. A worker was critically injured while the crew was clearing a blockage from a pipe near a live overhead hydro line. Right? So by
so not he was electrocuted then.
Yeah. By not ensuring precautions were in place to prevent hazards to workers from energized electrical equipment, Picard Construction failed as an employer to ensure that the measures and procedures as prescribed by Section 183 were carried out. Right? So, you know, and look, and date of offense, June 24th, 2022. Date of conviction, October 1st, 2024.
Like, 2.5 years almost.
And remember that whole episode we did on the 2 years automatic 500K fine?
Yeah, the next one.
Right? So that's not going to come into play until 2025. And I think they're already almost done passing the legislation. By January, it should be ready. And that being said, then the clock starts ticking on multiple criticals or fatalities.
As of that date, though.
Yeah.
This one would not be
this applicable. Would not be considered, no.
But if they have another one of these as of that date.
No, I don't know how that's going to work.
Are they going to go retro?
I doubt it.
You can't do that.
I doubt it. The law didn't apply at the time.
Well, it's 200 grand, and was that including all the fines and everything, the surcharge?
No,
and
they still added 25% on top of that.
And so then legal fees as well. And
This cost the employer, I'll say, probably $350K.
So walk me through, because I don't know if we've discussed that, but the construction, the Picard one, it's an insurance settlement? Or are they paying out of their own pocket?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't know. And here's the question. Does your corporate insurance or
cover
workplace injuries? I don't know. If you guys are employers out there and you have insurance, which you should call them and ask them that.
Well, you've got a car collision and someone's injured, and that's the reason why you have your liability insurance at whatever, it's $1 million, $2 million, whatever it goes. And also commercial vehicles have a greater liability insurance. And then that's where that money comes from to pay out in the event that you've lost a trial.
And it's a really good question.
It doesn't come out of the pocket of the person. It comes out of your insurance. Obviously, your insurance is going to increase.
Sure. And these are charges to the corporation. But what happens when it's individual charges to the director?
So this was to the corporation.
This was to the corporation.
So in this particular case, was the individual charge too? Doesn't seem like it.
It was a company. Yeah, it looks like it was just a company.
So that's what I mean. Is a corporation's going to have an insurance?
It's a good question, Manny. We'll find out. Hopefully
Big Tobacco, when they lose whatever or any kind of big corporations, it's an insurance settlement, right? It's
depending on the country, depending on the insurance system, you know, we have WSAB and that takes care of injured workers and the costs associated with that. But what takes care of these fines? It could be that you're going to have to sell some assets to pay this fine. It could be that you don't pay the fine. How did they come and collect it? Like, I don't know.
Fold up the business, as we discussed
before. It could be something as simple as that, right? Shut her down and reopen it up.
Oh, there's the three guys in the hot tub.
No, it's not that one, man. It was the other one. This was the old one. And then they switched it because they thought they were really progressive. And then we all laughed about it. And now finally they brought back.
Now nobody
back
can look at that old logo the same way.
Logo back.
Okay, all right.
But we'll do a search for the
old school Trillium Ontario logo.
This is the old school one. But the one before this one, which was the progressive. I'll use the word progressive and not woke. The progressive version. Man, it sort of looked like three guys in a hot dog. That was the running joke, man. That was the running joke. We got three guys on a hot tub on the side of our trucks.
Okay, we're not dismissing this $200,000 fine. I still think it's low.
For a critical injury, $200K is low?
I think it's
low. This is one of the highest critical injuries I've ever seen. Now, keep in mind, the max fine here is $2 million.
Yeah, I think there should be another zero.
Manny, you'd be a tough judge, man.
You dropped
the hammer on these guys.
I'd probably have a few different cars, so then nobody knows which one to put the bomb in. Hey,
but listen,
I want to set an example. I want to go like this company and other companies will never do this ever again. But you're right.
Come on, like,
how do you come up with the safety procedure for this scenario?
Some of these.
How do you come up with
again?
That?
I don't
you come
know.
Up with it now because you've heard about it.
Sure,
but how do you come up with it before?
Again, some of these situations, and we've talked about this as the challenges as a safety professional, you know, you got to have a complete understanding of what is being done in terms of the scope of work, but also a complete understanding of the worst case scenarios. But even for me, for example, you know, this one would be a hard one to kind of foresee. But again, I don't know, maybe the lines were closer than it sounds, but I'm picturing lines up way overhead and this pipe down on the ground. That thing must have shot up.
PSI, whatever.
Sure. How much could pressure. Have sent that thing up 20, 30 feet, right? But who's thinking about getting electrocuted by power lines that are 20 feet in the air, 30 feet in the air when you're working on the ground? Line
that's in ground.
Of course.
That's being shot up and then it touches. Yeah, I get it.
Right?
It's a challenge, right?
Yeah. And you see this and it's like 200K. And hey, listen, I think it's a great number. Could it be higher? Yes. Could it be lower? Unfortunately. But, you know, it's definitely worth the conversation. It's definitely good to see what has happened to these other companies in these situations. And it's good for us to kind of understand how much these situations could cost you.
It's funny, Phil. Like, it's funny when I look at these numbers and I look at the company and I look at the scenario, my first opinion is based on the person whose life is gone or changed as a result of the injury. Of course. That's what I look at. So now that person, whether they were the sole provider of that family or what have you, that's all taken away now. So it's not one person gone. It's
but we have you know, components in our health and safety system, such as WSIB, that backstops that, right? You know, you're on long-term disability and there's money coming in, et cetera, et cetera. So you're not completely left out in the lurch. Thank God, right? Because I'm sure there's cases where in different countries or whatever, you get injured, here's $500 later, yeah. Right? But, you know, thank God we have a system like this and employers pay into it, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, like...
Is Picard still around?
I have no idea.
Probably.
Yeah, I have no idea. But, you know...
Be on the Enterprise right now. We don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the check and balances to our system, right? And it needs to be into play.
It's otherwise, improving for me to see that number.
Well, I'm trying to find, you know, a couple of ones that showcase some of the wide ranges here, but I can easily say that this is the most expensive fine for a critical injury I've ever seen in my entire life.
And I still think it's low.
I'm sure Picard Construction highly disagrees with you.
Oh, of course they will.
But Manny, again.
But they replace that worker, I guarantee you, the next week.
Of course. Of course, the work has to get done. But keep this also in mind, too, from the perspective. You know, construction is a dangerous job.
Oh, I know.
The chances of you dying on a construction site, if you're a construction worker, you know, it's not very good, but there's a heightened chance, right? It's an elevated chance versus someone that goes and works in an office. The chances of you dying at work because you're a construction worker are far greater than someone that works in an office, period. Right? There's a million ways to die on a job site. But, it's crazy, man. We see it.
Well, it's good to bring that one up, man. Good that you found that one.
Yeah. And, you know, every once in a while, we'll pop in some of these and hopefully, you know, MOL can start dishing out some more of these, right?
Any other ones? No?
No, that's more than enough for today.
You got a video to wrap up? No, we had the song and dance video TikTok.
Do I have anything? You're not on that, right? Just wrapping it up. Social media, guys, girls, owners, workers, just be cautious.
Be aware.
Be cautious. If you're going to be in a video, make sure you're not breaking the law. If you're creating videos at your job site, make sure there's not a whole bunch of laws being broken and you're broadcasting that you're breaking a whole bunch of laws. You know, filter it a bit, screen it a bit, fix your job site maybe. That would be probably a better way to do it. Then you don't have to worry about filters.
I think shine a light on the safety things that you are doing on your job site.
Yeah.
Doing a post.
Incorporate it and start putting a more positive spin when it comes to safety, for sure. And some of these, again, I made a comment on someone's bricklaying post the other day, a bricklaying company, and they posted a scaffold. Man, the scaffold was beautiful. And I couldn't help but like, hey, man, that scaffold's really good. And like, yo, Phil, thanks, man. Yeah, we tried and da-da-da-da. And they were really proud of their scaffold. See? Right. And that's what you like to see. And don't get me wrong. When I see other ones and, you know, a bunch of contraventions, it's hard to bite my tongue sometimes. Right. You don't want to
leave a comment.
I try not to, man. I don't want to be that asshole safety Instagram police guy where, hey, you guys aren't wearing hard hats. No, man, you know, you're not wearing hard hats. You don't need me to tell you. Right. So, you know, but LDM people, private message them and say, hey, listen. You know, just be cautious, you know. I mean, people is like, thanks. And some people are like, hey, fuck off. Mind your business. And okay. It is what it is.
But like you said before, it's just a matter of time.
Hey, listen, yes, it's a matter of time for most. But there's companies out there, Manny, that have been operating for 15, 20 years.
Nothing.
Haven't seen an MOL inspector. Haven't had any issues. Oh, man.
Really?
It's one of the questions that I ask in every training course that I provide. Okay. And whenever I'm doing an in-person training course, one of my first questions, when was the last time you seen an MOL inspector? When was the last time you see? And the answers range from 10 years to 1 year to 3 years to 5 years. It's always in years. It's never in days or months. And you know, I like to gauge to see, you know, how frequently people are crossing paths with the MOL. But yeah, man, just be cautious of what you guys
post. You know what question I would ask them?
Who?
Those companies that have gone 15 years or years and years with no MOL agent passing by or no injury or no nothing, I'd be like, how many times do you guys go to Staples and buy number 9 envelopes? Everyone can decipher that joke.
That's okay. Where your head goes first. But there's some people that are just really lucky, man. And
luck runs out.
Sure. But some of these companies have some really good runs, man. And I've dealt with some of these companies where it's like, Phil, we haven't done any of that stuff for like 15 years. Why am I going to start doing it now? It's like, okay, man, you know, it's on you. But anyways, that's a wrap, Manny.
That's it. That was a good one. I like that one.
Glad you did,
man. And I'm sure that I'm encouraging everybody to start doing more safety videos. I don't give a shit about the TikTok dancing videos.
You don't want to see people dancing in Tic Tacs on job sites and long-term care facilities.
If you're making fun of electricians and plumbers, I'll amuse myself and I'll watch that.
The That's poor electricians, man. These electricians like, get hammered on Instagram.
Back and forth, the fashion shows and all this other stuff. And I get it. I understand it. Those are funny. But they're not really on job sites. They're like kind of off the job site.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it'll do your business better if you promote safety.
People try to do different things with social media. And sometimes it's just an experiment. Sometimes it's to see what kind of reactions you're going to get and stuff like that. And you know, most of them are positive. Some of them are negative. But it's kind of a learning curve. And you keep on going and figuring out what you can do and what envelope you can push. And
I will leave everybody with this one. You might want to go back and purge.
A purge might be healthy for your social media account.
I'm just saying, as a resolution for 2025, go back to your posts and just purge and see if there's anything that's really fucking funny. Funny in a Joe Pesci way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I get
just
you.
Be careful.
I get you.
Because CRA, MOL.
Any enforcement agency.
They're watching.
Oh, yeah.
Police, they're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying they're watching.
Yeah, MTO, whatever it is, man. You're in your truck driving down the street doing a video of you driving and da da da. Yeah, you may not want to post that.
That's it, Phil.
All right, cool. Manny. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks, everybody.
We're out of here.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.